Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we are allowed to spend in your house, in your presence. God, we ask for you to speak to us and help me to deliver the message to your people that they need to hear on this Sunday morning. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit present in this room. Thank you for your anointing here with us, the anointed oil of God. Let it flow in this place as we receive from you, God, every good and perfect thing that you have for us. Lord, we bless your name today. We bless you because you're the provider, you're the healer, you're the satisfier of our soul. God, you're everything to us. And we praise you and we give you the glory. And we bind the works of the enemy now in the name of Jesus. Call his plans defeated now in Jesus' name. Everyone say big amen. Give somebody a high five as you find your seat. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. I do want to, before I get into the word, before I get into the message, I do want to thank those who blessed me for my birthday a couple weeks ago. I tried to thank each and every individual individually, but I probably missed somebody. So just thank you to everyone. I was overwhelmed by the love and support for my birthday a couple weeks ago. Amen. Praise God. Say this with me. Say, be still and know. Say it again. Say, be still and know. Psalms 46 and 10. We're going to start there and then deviate. Psalms 46, chapter 46, verse numbers 10. Psalms 46, the whole chapter of Psalms 46 is really powerful. I encourage you to read it on your own time. Starts out with Psalms 46, 1, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Yeah, how many know God to be a present help? Amen. I mean, to me, I think sometimes faith is, you know, when our faith is tested, we realize what faith is really for. And in time of trouble, he's present. He's a present father. Amen. Psalms 46, verse number 10 reads, be still. Say, be still. And know. Say that again. Say, be still. And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. God, the Lord says. That word still there in the Hebrew, that word means to let go or let drop, to be quiet, and to surrender. Those of us who have children, we understand what it's like when a child will not sit still. And sometimes our kids, my wife and I, our kids, they just won't sit still and they get the wiggles. And for whatever reason, maybe they had a little too much sugar for lunch, they just won't sit in one place. Parents, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Especially when they're real little and you're trying to get the little clothes on them, trying to get the little shoe on them. The shoe's the hardest. I get the little shoe on. Thank God for Velcro, because I believe Velcro was invented in heaven, because, you know, you just undo it and put the shoe on. But, you know, some of those shoes, they had all the laces for the little baby. I'm like, why do you need all these laces on this little baby? But you trying to put the shoe on them, and they just wiggling around, they kicking. My oldest, we called him Frog Legs, because Donald, we called him Frog Legs, because he would just, with his legs, and he looked like he could just bounce up out the house if we weren't holding on to him. And I'd be just like, sit still so I can put these clothes on you. And I believe sometimes God is saying the same thing to us who are his children. You just sit still. I want to clothe you. I want to bless you. I want to cover you. I want to take good care of you. I got some good things for you if you just sit still. And the premise of this message today, and the sermon that God has blessed me to be able to share with you today is just that. Be still and know. Be still And know, if you're taking notes, you can write that down as the title for this message, Be Still and Know. Because before we can really know God, we have to learn how to be still. Before we can truly know and see God, know him in the way that the Bible uses that word know, it's not just like you have head knowledge, but it's experiential knowledge. You've experienced him. And for us to know, truly know and experience and taste and see that the Lord is good, we have to first learn how to be still. And to be still is a posture of your heart. We're not talking about standing still. We're talking about being still. If you remember, if you recall, when Moses led the children out of Egypt, they came up to the shores of the Red Sea. And Moses told the children of Israel to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Then Moses turned to God, and the first thing God tells Moses is to tell the children of Israel to move forward. Moses says, stand still. God says, move forward. Both were technically true because Moses, more than just saying stand still, what I believe he was being led to say by the inspiration of God is still, be still in your spirit. Be still in your heart. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Let the inner man, the inside of you, be solid in the things of God and in your faith in God. And when we stand still on the inner man, when the inside of us is steadfast, it's then that we begin to experience the goodness of God. The truth is that God does not necessarily bless people. You know that? And you say, well, what do you mean? I'm blessed. I'm a blessed person. Yes, but God doesn't bless people. He blesses position. Otherwise, it'd be, I'm so great, I'm blessed. No. The Bible says that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, under the authority and the obedience of God, and that is where the blessing is. It's like an umbrella. When you stand under an umbrella, you're protected. When you remove yourself from under that umbrella, you get wet. Why? Because it hasn't stopped raining all around us. I'm here to let you know that if I walk in disobedience, me being even a pastor, if I choose today to turn away from God and start walking in disobedience, guess what? My life will no longer experience, I will no longer experience the blessings of God. It's not me and who I am that's blessed. It's because I'm positioned under the authority and obedience to God's word that I'm blessed. This is revelation for some of you. And this is why it's important for us to be still and remain under the authority, under the hand of God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of knowing the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I am suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. To know Christ for the believer is more excellent, is more valuable than any other thing on this planet. Do you agree? Are you a believer? Do you agree that to know God and to experience him and to be with him is more valuable and more important than any other thing on this planet? Amen. And so we as believers, we have to be committed to staying still so that we can know God better. You don't need to learn more religious things. I've been teaching the series in MTS class on the history of the church. And as you examine the history of the church, you see how religiosity robbed many Christian believers from experiencing and knowing God. Isn't that something? Those who were devoted and faithful in the quote-unquote church, were those who were essentially robbing themselves the most of really knowing God. Why? Because they become busy with doing things instead of learning to remain still and know the Lord. I'm going to show you this, an example of scripture. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Is it okay if we read the Bible? Is it okay if I teach from the Bible? Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered, that is Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she said, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Who was Martha serving? You can answer, Jesus. Martha was serving Jesus. But do you see that even in her serving of the Lord, she was distracted from knowing? You can be so busy doing too much where that you miss what this whole thing was all about. And some of you, quiet as kept, are doing too much. I'm not saying doing too much serving in the church. Please hear me. I'm not saying you're doing too much reading of your Bible. You're not doing too much. No, I'm saying there is too much that's happening sometimes that's distracting you from truly knowing and experiencing the goodness of God in your life. Some of you are doing too much. What? Here's the question. What am I doing too much of? What have you been doing too much of? We need to ask ourselves this. Some of you who aren't here today because you're excited about a Seahawks football game, and yes, I am aware that my team is going to play the LA Rams today and they're going to win. Amen. But some of y'all, you're doing too much right now because it's keeping you away from knowing the Lord by coming to church. See, knowing the Lord, knowing God is not just limited to reading the Bible. Knowing God comes through what I have already mentioned, obedience to God. When we're saying that we're being still, we're not saying that we're standing still and doing nothing, being stagnant. We're saying that in our heart, we are still on focusing on, tuned into hearing God's voice. Be still when you're moving, when them kids are running all amok around the house and they're got the house moving down the street and they got the music playing and they're jumping and they're swinging from the chandeliers. They can't hear nothing you're talking about, what you're saying. You can't teach them a good lesson about life. You can't have a heart-to-heart moment with that child. You got to get that kid to calm down, to sit down. And sometimes we do that, you know, as parents. We have to sit our kids down. Sit down on your bed here. Let me talk to you some. You got to sit them down. You got to get their attention. Some of you are so distracted, you can't even focus when you come to church. God does not have your attention. So we have to learn how to be still and know, say, and know that he is God. Know him as God. Be still and know. Don't just be still, but be still and know with the intentions to know that he is God. I have a question for you guys. How, and I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes, write this down. How is my relationship with the Holy Spirit? How's your relationship going with the Holy Spirit? We're talking about God, but we're talking about the third person of God specifically right now, the Holy Spirit. How's your relationship going with the Holy Spirit? What do I mean by that? When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, do you listen or do you ignore him? No, I'm not. No, don't answer right now. You need to ask yourself, have you been listening to the Holy Spirit like you should? Are you obedient to God like you should be? Because some people that are quick to say they listen and they ain't even serving the church, so I know they ain't listening to the Holy Spirit. Now don't make me point you out now. So we got to be careful of this self-righteous spirit. I got it all together. When a pastor asks questions like that, it's smarter just to be quiet and ask yourself in your own head. All right. Just letting you know. Because otherwise you're being self-righteous. You're saying, oh, it's me. I got it all together. No, you don't. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. We have to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey the Holy Spirit. We have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just this mystical spirit floating around. No, it's the third. It's a person of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit and he will lead you into all truth. If you're lost, and if you're confused, it's because you ain't been following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're a Christian, maybe you love God and you mean well, but you have never received the Holy Spirit, the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Guess what happens? Everything changes when that happens. When you receive the help of the Holy Spirit, everything changes. Your desires change. Your want-tos change. It no longer becomes, I have to go to church. It becomes, I get to go to church. And not just for a little while, not just for a few months. It becomes a desire where you hunger and thirst for the things of God. It's not, I can't watch that movie. It's, I don't want to watch that movie because it grieves the spirit inside of me. And if you have not received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or you're not sure that you have been baptized, John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water, but there's one who is coming who will baptize you with spirit and fire. This is a second baptism that we have to receive from the Holy Spirit, which transforms us. And if you're not sure if you're Holy Spirit filled, then you should receive him today. Well, we'll give you opportunity at the end of service. Because if it's a pain for you to go to church, if it's a pain for you to read your Bible, if it's a pain for you to learn to really dig in deep into the things of God and want to really know the Lord more, because we're talking about knowing God today, then guess what? You may not have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you, will be a voice inside of you crying out, saying, I need more of God. If you don't have that, you may be missing something. And the church is full of people who are missing this. Full of people who are missing this. And we have to receive the Holy Spirit. And once we have the Holy Spirit, we have to build our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, who is the same God as the Holy Spirit. We're talking about one God here, triune God in three persons. Jesus said, if you want to be my friend, you'll have to do what I say. In order for us to have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to learn how to obey and be obedient to what he is telling us to do. So when the Holy Spirit tells you to read your Bible, you read your Bible. When the Holy Spirit tells you to pray, you pray. When the Holy Spirit tells you to share your testimony with somebody, you share your testimony with somebody. And as you do that, walk in obedience with the Holy Spirit, your relationship becomes stronger. And guess what? You experience, you begin to know God in a deeper and greater way. So a lot of Christians know about God, but they don't really know God. They don't really know God. They know about him. They hear about him on Sunday mornings. They hear about him on Wednesday nights, but they don't really know him for real. I can sniff it out. If you have the Holy Spirit and you've been really walking with God, you can tell when you meet somebody, you can tell somebody who really knows the Lord. Because you can't fake this thing. You can't say, amen, I pray and I love Jesus and you can't fake this thing. There's no faking it. I can't even explain it for you, but you have to receive and experience it. And that's why we have lukewarm Christians. That's why the church in America especially is so lukewarm, because they have so many people who are either not Holy Spirit filled or they have not developed and built in a strong relationship through the Holy Spirit, where that they know God and they're set on fire, they have a passion for God. If you're an individual who lacks passion for Jesus, lacks passion in your worship, lacks passion for the things of God, then maybe you need to examine your relationship to the Holy Spirit. God's desire for us more than anything else is for us to know him better. Because when you know him better, everything else falls into place. Jesus died on the cross, not for us to just, you know, get a free ticket to heaven, not for us just to have a nice experience on this earth. He died on the cross so that a relationship can be mended between God and man, so that we can know him more intimately. This is more important than everything else on this planet. The intimate relationship that you forge and you build and you invest into with God is more important than everything else. It's more important than your career. It's more important than your education. It's more important than everything else in your life. And it starts with obedience. Starts with obedience. We have to learn how to obey the Holy Spirit. I mentioned it earlier, and I want to give you this scripture to you guys. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6 says, Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, under his word. Under what? His word. One nation. We're supposed to be one nation under who? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. What does that mean? That means you need to humble your ways. Humble the way you talk. Submit it to the Lord. Humble the way you think. Submit it to the Lord. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due season, he will exalt you. And then you will be able to cast your cares upon the Lord. You can't cast your cares on the Lord until you learn how to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You can't cast your cares until you, it's a symbiotic relationship. You have to cast your care, you have to humble yourself before you can cast your cares. And some of you are worried, you're stressed. You're like Martha. In the Bible, you're worried about a lot of things. You're stressed over a lot of things. Some of you almost feel like giving up, quitting. And I submit to you that if you will learn how to humble yourselves in the little things with obedience, with saying yes to the Holy Spirit when he's tugging on your heart, obeying God with the little things, I guarantee you that, guess what? You will see the goodness of God. You will see the truth of who God is. You will come to know him, experience him in a deeper way, in a more meaningful way that will change everything about you. I hope you didn't come to church today to hear a message about what God wants to give to you or what God wants to do for you. I hope you came here to learn and to hear about how we learn to grow closer to the Lord. My desire as a Christian is to focus on and grow closer to God. All of the things he does for us, that's great. All of the needs that I have, that's cool, that's great. But that's not my focus. My focus is to know him better, to know him more, to experience him. It's to experience his presence in my life. That's my focus. I hope it's yours. I hope it's yours. I really do. Because I don't want to get to heaven and he asks us, you know, why didn't you pursue me? You pursued everything about me, everything that I had for you, everything that is a byproduct of a life spent with me, but you never pursued me. You were faithful in a lot of things, but you weren't faithful in pursuing me and knowing me in your life. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 19. I just want to read this real quick, and then I'm going to leave you alone. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 19. A lot of you know the story about King Saul. He was instructed to go and to wipe out the Amalekites, who were pagan people. They served strange gods. They were into all kind of weird mysticism and different things. And he was instructed by God to go and wipe them out, to do it. And he went and he wiped out most of them, but he kept a lot of their livestock. He spared the king. And he had been directly instructed through the prophet Samuel to not spare any part of the Amalekites. And he didn't listen. He disobeyed. And in verse number 19, the prophet Samuel confronts King Saul. Because see, Samuel was praying for Saul, was standing in the gap for Saul, interceding, and God spoke to Samuel and told him, Saul didn't do what I instructed him to do. He didn't do what I instructed him to do, and Samuel cried out. He said, I've been crying out to God all night on your behalf. Cried out to him, and he came to King Saul, the man of God Samuel came to King Saul, and he said, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Because King Saul, he said, I brought back some cattle, I brought back some livestock, and we can sacrifice them to the Lord. That's how they worshiped at that time. We can sacrifice them to the Lord, and isn't this a good thing? And Samuel said, why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Be still and know. Be still and listen. Be still and obey. There's going to be a lot of Christians who are going to stand before God on judgment day, and God is going to say, why did you not obey my voice? You went to church. You dressed up nice. You did a lot of things, but you did too much. Why did you not obey my voice? Samuel told King Saul, obedience is better than your sacrifices. Some of us, we just like to be busy. We just like to do stuff. But God is saying, listen to my voice. Obey what I've told you to do. You think it's beneath you. You think it's too minuscule. Not enough accolades, not enough praise is going to come from that. Obey his voice, church. Stop ignoring the voice of the Lord. He told you to cut that thing out of your life. He told you to get free from that addiction, from that bondage. He has the power for you to do it. Obey his voice. Obey the voice of the Lord. It's like I'm crying out to you guys. If you will just obey God, listen to him, be still and hear him. He's crying to you. Obey the voice of the Lord. Be faithful in that relationship, that marriage. Stop taking those children for granted. Submit them to the Lord. Raise them up in the things of God. Obey the voice of the Lord. Get committed in church. Stop wavering between the world and the things of God. Obey the voice of the Lord. Samuel, there was nothing Samuel could do for King Saul at this point. King Saul had decided to disobey God, and the verdict was in. King Saul would be removed from his position as king of Israel. He would be replaced. The blessings of God would no longer, the goodness of God, we sung about it earlier, all my life you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. He's been so good to you. Samuel or Saul, King Saul knew, he experienced the goodness of God. He experienced the grace of God, but that wasn't enough. Because he could not obey the voice of the Lord. God is not playing any games with any of us. You've been experiencing the grace of God. You've been experiencing the goodness of God. But you need to obey. We need to learn how to heed his voice. When the Holy Spirit is directing you, when the Holy Spirit is telling you and convicting you, stop ignoring him. Stop ignoring him. You're playing with your life. God is not playing any games with you any longer. The church of God needs to rise up with fidelity towards God. Remove the idols. Remove the things that have exalted themselves above God in your heart. Center yourself, steady yourself, steel yourself under the mighty hand of God. God promises peace that surpasses all understanding. But sometimes we have to remove our understanding from the equation to experience the peace. And I think this is where we get tripped up. Because we lean on our own understanding, even when it comes to our relationship with God. This is why your relationship with the Holy Spirit is vitally important. I cannot stress this enough. I cannot stress this enough. You need to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit, church. I could look at some of you and point you out and tell you, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is dead. It's non-existent. You need to build the relationship with the Holy Spirit. God wants to help you. He's your helper. Let him help you. You're not a loser. You're not a victim. You're not a problem to God. Let him help you. Get into his word, his truth. Let it transform you. Stop neglecting the word of God. Stop avoiding the word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is telling me that there's some of you in here, you have neglected the word of God in your personal devotion. There's some of you in here, you need to repent. We need to repent because we have not pressed into the word of God like we should. You read your Bible on your phone and you fall asleep. God is not playing. He's looking for a church that is on fire for him. It's not strange fire, it's the fire of the Holy Spirit. When I'm talking about us building a relationship with the Holy Spirit, how often do you talk to the Holy Spirit? And if you think this is weird, I'm talking to you. How often do you acknowledge the Holy Spirit? When I pray and I worship and I read the word of God and God reveals things to me, I literally thank the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Why am I saying this? To help us. I don't need to tell you my personal business, but I have conversation. I say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me not go and fall into that temptation that the enemy might try to set. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me to grow and be stronger than I was yesterday. Build a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. He's here to help you. Turn to somebody and say, he's here to help you. Say, he wants to help you. Say, let him help you. Glory to God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, it's 1 Peter 5, 6, 7, in due time, he will exalt you. Then you will be able to cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Close your Bible. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for giving us the helper. Holy Spirit, we thank you for helping us, for reminding us that not every fight is our fight. This world right now, this country is in turmoil because they're fighting fights that they are not called to fight. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12 tells us, but against principalities and powers of the air and unseen forces. God, help us to be aware of what matters in our life. Lord, mature us as we study your word, God. Holy Spirit, mature us, even in our coming to church and our receiving of the word from our pastor, God, here at PCC, God, mature us so that we're not just babes craving milk, but we can receive the meat of the word of God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, the Holy Spirit, you grow us up, you mature us, you build us up. Lord, we want to be still and know you. Lord, we're your people. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. We close our eyes so that we can cut out all the distractions. Some of you this week, there are some things that you've been doing too much of. You're doing too much, and you need to cut them out of your life this week. Don't know what it is, but what you are doing too much of is keeping you from knowing God. So this week, I challenge each and every one of you, especially those in here who know you've been doing too much of something or some things. You got to cut those things out. Your job as a Christian is to know God more, not to seek his blessings. Not to be impressive to your friends and family. Your job is to know God. To get closer to him. You need to get closer to him, because the closer you get to him, the more like him you'll be, and the more reflection of him the world will see from you. Lift your hands, close your eyes. Lord, we wait on you, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. God, you are more important than everything else in our life, Lord. Lord, just as Paul said in Philippians 3:8, Lord God, we count it all as loss in comparison to the excellency of knowing you, God. Just pray out in the Spirit if you have the gift of tongues. Just pray out in the Spirit. God, we thank you, Lord. Pray out in the Spirit. We thank you, God, that we can know you. We can wait on you, that you care enough about us to save us, to redeem us. We don't deserve it, God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. Get us out of carnality, Holy Spirit. Get us out of the flesh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask, God. Get us out of our desires and our wants. What about what God wants? It's what we care about. It's what we care about, God. That's what we should care about. What do you want? What do you desire? What do you desire? You desire more of us. You desire more of our time, more of our attention. More of our heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Deal with your people. Deal with us, God. Deal with us, God. Correct us, Holy Spirit. Correct us where we've been off. Correct us. Our priorities have been off. Our priorities have been off. They've been off. Correct us, God. Help us, Lord, to focus our hearts back on you. To get off our phones, to get off of social medias, to get off of the TV shows and the binge watching of the programs and the news that we consume and the sports, and the distractions, God. Correct us, Lord. Correct us, Lord. Wake your church up, God. Still our hearts. Still us. Make us still. Help us to be still. Help us to be still, Jesus. And know you. Why don't you put your hands together and give God a hand clap of praise. Don't patty cake them. Come on. Don't play with them. Don't patty cake them. Give them a praise in this place. Come on. Come on, if you're triggered by me and what I've said, then this is for you. If this triggered you, then this is for you. Sit down, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. Lord, I pray for your people, God. I pray, Lord God, that you will help us, help us, help us. We don't want to hear you say, why did you not obey my voice?